This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Women are making some progress in the business world, though stereotypes help to maintain a pay gap between men and women. And the media still likes to portray the successful businesswoman as an icy lone wolf. Think Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada.
Who are you?
My name is Andy Sachs. I recently graduated from Northwestern University.
What are you doing here?
I came to New York to be a journalist, and basically it's this or auto universe.
So you don't read Runway?
No.
And before today, you had never heard of me?
No.
And you have no style or sense of fashion?
I think that depends on what you're...
No. That wasn't a question.
Oh, yeah. Well, my next guests say that women don't have to go it alone. They can find power through partnerships. Their new book takes a look at research that debunks myths about female partnerships. Betsy Polk and Maggie Ellis-Chodas are the co-founders of the Mulberry Partners and co-authors of Power Through Partnership, How Women Lead Better Together. And they are on the program now. Betsy and Maggie, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
You know, we're talking about a partnership and women and how they join together and can build strength. We were just talking to four attorneys who are women who found each other and did this incredible thing. I mean, in any way, is their story about how they came to go to Artesia and help refugees any part of your story?
Their story is absolutely the story. We were having a wonderful conversation with Evelyn outside about what drove them to work together, and it was this shared vision and this shared purpose. So they each knew that they cared about this. They each knew that they couldn't do it alone, but it was something beyond just being personally mad. It was something they wanted to make a difference about. So they found each other, they sought each other out, and they made it happen by reaching out to other people to support their cause and to support their work.
And in a lot of ways, your partnership, the way your partnership came together, I guess, is also another example, right?
Yes. Betsy and I have been friends since 10th grade English class in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we always talked about working together one day. And in 2003, we had our chance. We found ourselves in North Carolina. And we brought together our backgrounds, and Betsy's background in organization development, my background as an educator, and thought about what can we do now? What can we do? We each had young children, and we were sort of thinking about our next plans, our next stage of our careers. We were each thinking about going back to school to get more education and
more.
And that's when it really hit us that something my mom, who is a therapist, always said, you know, women, when they're thinking about changing careers, think they need another something, think they need a degree or more experience before they do it. Whereas men tend to just dive in and make it happen. And we really were inspired by that and decided, what are we waiting for? Let's put our skills together, build on our friendship, build on our vision for what could be and see what could happen.
But Betsy, it does seem to me that when it comes to partnership, I mean, that's going to make any group or any idea stronger, right? I mean, what is it about women and what is it about your message that speaks particularly to women? If we think about partnerships as generally, you know, a better idea than trying to go it alone.
The thing about women in partnership is that there aren't many women working in partnership. And yet, we found, and we've verified this with the 125 women we've interviewed, who we had to dig pretty deep to find, that this is a way of work that's really working. When you think of men working together, as you start to think of different examples, you can think they start just coming and coming. You know, Ben and Jerry, the Weinstein brothers, throwing a couple of Maggie.
The co-founders of Snapchat, Twitter, Google,
you know,
Microsoft.
The Koch brothers, the Koch brothers. They're doing very well. They're doing very well.
Really well. Yes. Uh-huh. Bless their hearts. So, but there, you know, the examples just keep on coming in. You think about, and then we looked at, just to make sure we weren't missing something, we checked in with Google to see who the women partnerships who came up with it. And we came up with Laverne and Shirley. Yeah. We came up with Thelma Louise, and we all know where that resulted. So no real great examples, yeah. And yet there are women working together. And we think a lot of this is because as we keep on digging deeper and deeper, because of the very different stories we are all hearing about women and the need for friendship, and yet the threat of collaboration.
Well, what is that threat, Maggie? Why is it that there are so few partnerships among women?
Well, it is this mixed messages that we have as women. One, that we are taught to be best friends, and there's kind of this myth of the best friend that you're very close with your friend. You don't necessarily have conflict with your friend, or if you do, you take it underground and deal with it in kind of subterranean ways. And then there's this myth of competition, you know, that women have to compete with each other, and there's only room for one or very few women at the top in any sort of an organization and leadership. So those two competing myths come together and have created sort of this false dichotomy for women. And what we found through our research and building on our partnership is that women can bring the best of themselves into an entity, into a business partnership or a creative collaboration, and really and find ways to enjoy each other's company and also get the work done and be fueled through the partnership by reaching towards the vision that's in front of them.
Well, I do want to talk about how it works when it works, but I want to stick with the myths for a moment and ask you, Betsy, if you think that some culturally driven expectations, for instance, do women find that they have to seem more competitive, more serious than men in order to sort of stay in the workplace? Is that would be a culturally driven expectation. So this idea that there can only be one woman at the top of any organization is something that gets an expectation that might build in early in your career. Is that part of this?
Yeah, it's such a complicated brew of mythology, you know, and we're constantly thinking it through and sorting it out. I mean, I think there is that myth of the superwoman, you know, if you're going to fly to the top and if you can get there, you need to do it by yourself. And I think that's changing. And there's also the myth of, as Maggie just mentioned, you know, there's the myth of why would you work with other women when you just know this is going to lead to a catfight? And Sheryl Sandberg says it so beautifully in her book. She says the media loves nothing more than a catfight, you know. So there's great attraction for that. So why would a woman set herself up for that? And there's this myth that women don't have ego. We're not supposed to, you know, we're taught as little girls, oh, that's for boys to go play outside. The girls don't have egos and nasty things like that. And yet, women have very healthy egos. And what we found in the partners we've interviewed is that they're able to take that ego and instead of putting it between them, raise it up and put it into the work that they're doing, just like the four women you just interviewed are doing, four lawyers.
Tell us more about those interviews and what you found, some of the surprises, but also maybe how some of these myths are reinforced. You did a lot of interviews and talked with women.
We did. We talked to 125 women in business and creative collaborations, and the ego piece was a huge learning for us, and we interviewed the women who co-founded the National Women's Law Center, and they were the ones who really crystallized that concept for us, because they said they don't think about hiding their egos. What they think about doing is how to be strong and powerful for the sake of the organization. And of course, they're advocating for women's legal rights in the U.S. And so, and that really helped us kind of drill that down. The other thing we heard over and over again that we almost started to believe it ourselves was that partnership is like a marriage. And while it is true that there is a closeness to a business or a creative collaboration, what we've come to understand is that it's not a marriage. You're not in it for life. And in actuality, for women to think that it is a marriage, that it's a long-term commitment, can actually build up a wall that women have to get around before that they will jump into the partnership. So what we found is that it's actually like a rubber band. It can stretch. The partnership is the result of the people who are engaged in the partnership. And so it can get bigger, it can get smaller, it can actually be an open marriage. We actually encourage that, and we learn that from our partners. The Indigo Girls, for example, where we interviewed them, and they have a very strong collaboration, very long-term collaboration, but they each go out and do their solo work. They work with other artists, and that refreshes who they are and brings it back to the collaboration at the core for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say, that was so important for us in our work together, because we were at a point of thinking, well, we both kind of want to take on separate things, but what does that mean for our partnership? Does that mean that we don't have a partnership anymore? Does that mean that Mulberry changes because we're doing other things in addition to the work we're doing? And hearing those, being able to have these interviews and checking in on what partnership really means was so helpful to our own work together.
Now, is there anything about, and I'll go back to, and I'll stress this, anything about culturally driven roles that women have been playing that make it better for them to, now that you've identified this plasticity in business relationships, are women, for cultural reasons, better able to sort of manage that kind of relationship, or isn't that really a factor?
Women are used to doing a lot of multitasking. It is true. I mean, still even today, women on average spend an extra 12 years out of the working professional life tending to young families or aging parents or other needs in the community. So what one of the wonderful things about the partnership model is that you can take the stretches that happen throughout a lifespan and find a way to keep working, keep engaging, keep making an impact in your community. And that is kind of a culturally ingrained idea in terms of caregiving, that women still today are the primary caregivers, and also in terms of being very adept at and accustomed to stretching in a lot of different ways.
And I'm wondering, too, if business models generally are changing from the old industrial competitive models to a much more commons-driven, collaborative-driven business models. We're reading more and more about that is the way of the future for businesses, particularly in the information age. And I'm wondering if now collaborations among women might have them positioned better than some of the old-style industrial thinking that's locked us into the competitive, highly destructive and not terribly useful model that we're kind of living with today.
Right. Well, I mean, you think of a working model that is based on having to achieve something together. It's based on having to trust. In order for a partnership to succeed, there has to be trust. There has to be a high level of confidence because, as we always say, you know, I can doubt my own self, but I'm not doing Maggie any good if I'm doubting myself, and I'm certainly not doing our work any good. So I have to have confidence. A partner has to have confidence. There's that level of flexibility and stretch that makes you not only nimble in your partnership, but also makes you nimble as a worker and as a thinker and as a creator. So there are all these benefits that come from these collaborations that, as you know, you're really making me think, Frank, about how they really extend to the work and the product.
Well, let's use some examples. I think one of the many, many examples in the book, but if you talk about Ann Patchett and Karen Hayes their collaboration, I think a lot of what you're saying is embedded in their story.
Yeah, we do love that story because there was a need in Nashville for a bookstore. Their bookstores were starting to close, and Nashville in and of itself wanted a new bookstore. And there was a community push for that. And Ann Patchett, who lives in Nashville, the novelist, was interested in being involved in this endeavor in some way. And so through friends, she met Karen Hayes. Karen had been in the book industry for a long time and was ready to do something slightly different. And they came together and thought about how they can work out, how they could support Parnassus Books, what that would look like if they partnered together. They weren't friends first. They had really, what they needed to do was A, trust each other, and B, figure out what their roles were going to be so that the bookstore could be very successful, and it has been. And part of that has been that Karen is the day-to-day person in the store, and that Anne is more related to, you know, spreading the word about the store through social media and through her own work. So that's a great example of a collaboration that came together to meet a community need and also their personal and professional needs.
We are looking at ways that women can lead better together on the state of things. My guests are Betsy Polk and Maggie Ellis-Chodas, who are co-founders of Mulberry Partners, co-authors of Power Through Partnership. One of the things that struck me about the example was Ann Patchett, the novelist, of course. When you're a novelist, you are really alone. There is no more monastic profession than that. So the idea that then you would open yourself up to someone else as someone who is professionally closed and then create this successful. And by the way, an independent bookstore, not always, you know, Wall Street ain't crazy about those, so it's a hard business to make work.
Yeah, right. And to go into it so clearly about, you know, that this is how we're going to divide this work. We don't know each other. We both feel that because we've been connected through these people, we can trust each other. As we develop this partnership, we increasingly trust each other.